You're listening to Sydney's Best Breakfast, Ben Fordham Live. And now, the UK Report.
Well, there's concerns about a rise in football pitch invasions across the UK, and authorities are searching for solutions. Adam Gilchrist, good morning.
Yeah, they've suddenly become endemic of pitch invasions. I don't know, like COVID or monkeypox or something. Thousands of fans we saw pouring onto the pitch when Manchester City had that extraordinary win to take the Premier League title. And in the course of it, the Aston Villa goalkeeper got hit in the head. He's okay, but not really what you want. But that was the sixth pitch invasion in pretty much a week at various levels of football. And any numbers of players, coaches and pundits are incandescent about the safety of players and why more should be done to protect them and so forth. And indeed, I mean, they have a point. Six clubs, several police forces and the English Football Association are all investigating. But Ben, I remember running onto the field of play at the end of matches, particularly at the end of cricket matches, is what you did. It was a sign of exuberance. It was all very positive. If you were lucky, you got to pat Ian Botham or Bob Willis on the back or something, if you could get that close. And also, it was relief from those hard, bum-numbing wooden benches you used to get at cricket matches. It was a positive thing. What happened? Why has it become such a negative thing, so much so that now players' safety has been compromised?
Yeah, I mean, probably because times change and they fear that, you know, some nutcase is going to run out there with a knife or something and jam it into someone's back or someone's gut. So anyway, a bit of a shame, but you're right. Back in the day, it used to happen. Now, I'm intrigued by this story. A lot of people in the UK have been very generous in taking in refugees from Ukraine, but it hasn't worked out well for one family.
No, 200,000 people stepped forward, roughly speaking, to take in Ukrainian refugees. As we know, they're all women and children because the men weren't allowed to leave. It's nowhere near 200,000 who've actually made it happen because you have to jump through hoops and do form filling. And my word, it's a very complicated process. And in the case of Tony Garnett and his partner Lorna, she certainly may be regretting that they did jump through the hoops, because it turns out that Tony and the Ukrainian lady they've taken in, Sofia Karkidim, have begun an affair.
Oh, no.
Indeed, he suggests it's the love of his life and that they instantly fell for each other. This in a very short space of time. I mean, check your calendar. She only arrived from Ukraine at the start of May, and already they've moved out. Children have been abandoned. Partner is none too happy. I just wonder if maybe he thought, after all that form filling and the jumping through hoops, he thought, you know what? I probably ought to get something out of this. I'm making light of it. It's not a great happy ending, is it, somehow?
Well, it is for Sophia. She got Tony.
I suppose. Or is it the other way around? Because she is a bit of a looker, shall we say.
Oh, is that right? Adam Gilchrist, thank you very much. We'll see what happens with Sophia and Tony. You make sure you keep us updated, okay?
Will do. Cheers, Ben.
Good on you. It's like a reality TV show. Okay, here's a thing just to test your age and your memory. When Adam was talking about running onto the pitch or running onto the field after a sporting contest, back in the day when you were watching a game of local rugby league, I'm talking about first grade, it wasn't called the NRL back then, it was ARL or Winfield Cup. When the full-time siren would sound and you'd bolt onto the field, what was the prized possession that you would try and get before anyone else?